All right, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Absolutely Fucking Not podcast with your host, Daybar is Open, the life and times of a millennial. This is episode 14. Extremely excited about this episode. Going to get to it in a moment. Something completely different from what we've done in the previous week. So hopefully you guys enjoy this. And if you do, you're definitely going to see a lot of more collaborations like this. But as always, want to thank everybody who tuned in to last week's episode, episode 13, Minimal Expectations. Got a lot of feedback on that one, a lot actually. That was super cool. A lot of people telling me it's on me to hit up my friends and family. A lot of people saying it's on my family to hit me up. So again, it was nice just to start a conversation about that. The cool thing was that a lot of people could relate to that. More so, the feedback I got was a lot of people could relate to being that person who was being visited, and you know, people just show up to you like and give you like no heads up or notice, and like, hey, I'm in town, let's do this, and they're like, hey, I'm glad you're in town, but I really can't, you know, drop all my plans just to hang out with you. So I guess I really think about that side of the things as well. So again, it was a cool conversation to have. I hope you guys, you know, it provoked a thought in your brains when it came to, you know, dealing with people who are visiting or when you're going to visit some friends and family. And a shout out again to Wifey for holding it down. I hope you guys enjoy that back and forth as well. But what I've been up to, man, obviously Christmas, it's Christmas Eve currently, recording this the day before Christmas. Excited to, you know, hang out with some friends and family. So most of my family last week in New York, like I mentioned on the previous episode. So just knocking out a couple things for the podcast and going to enjoy this Christmas Eve. Going to get a fresh cut. So, you know, what that means, fresh cuts means I'm going to be the most attractive man in South Florida for the next 24 hours. I don't want to hear anything from anybody. So that's going to be a good day. Get a cut. Just chill with the girlfriend. We're going to go to church tonight, then just come home, hang out by the tree, drink some eggnog, watch some Christmas movies, open some gifts at midnight, and then tomorrow doing the whole all-day basketball thing, and then Christmas Eve with a cousin who I have here in South Florida. We'd love to hear about your plans, you know, this holiday time of the year. Please hit me up on Twitter at AFN Podcast or on Instagram at Absolutely Fucking Not. No U after the F. Love to hear what you guys are doing during the Christmas holidays. Just obviously, you know, maybe steal some of your ideas for next year. But this episode, man, this episode is pretty special to me. I was able to link up with two, family friends, old friends, people who I've known for almost 15, 20 years now. When I was in New York last week, it's called episode 14, Absolutely Dribbling. And this is a crossover episode with two of my closest friends, Manny Digital, Manny and Emilio the Poet, Emilio aka Pietro, guys who I've grown up with in the Bronx back when I was like 10 years old. They're a little bit older than me, so you're gonna hear like a really cool back and forth. They actually have their own podcast called Dribble and Dimes, doing phenomenal work. Dribble and Dimes, for those of you guys who haven't listened to that yet, is a basketball podcast focusing on New York City hoops, and they have really famous, you know, basketball players from the New York area, guys who did it, you know, big in high school, college, and even some in the pros. The Felipe Lopez episode was by far one of my favorite ones. A little bit biased because, you know, Felipe Lopez is the Dominican Michael Jordan, so it was super cool to see them, you know, having someone like that on their podcast. So definitely go check it out at Dribble and Dimes. On that show, again, it's at Manny Digital and at Emilio underscore the Poet. Great dudes. We have really fun back and forth. Some of you may say it's millennial bashing, but it's it feels more like elevated stoop talk. These are guys who I've hung out with, you know, when I was a kid or, you know, coming up on the stoops of 1826 in White Plains Road in Morris Park, just shooting this shit, talking about anything and everything. And we've, you know, tried to keep that relationship going over the past few years and thought it was a perfect time to make an episode happen. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It's good. It's a little bit different from what you're used to when it comes to the Absolutely Fucking Not podcast, but I really think these guys took this episode to a different level. And if you guys enjoy it, we'll definitely be doing more of that in the coming months, but enjoy it. Again, hope you guys have a phenomenal holiday weekend. After this short little break, we're going to get right into the podcast with my Dribble and Dimes co-host, Absolutely Fucking Not. And Dribble and Dimes linking up, doing big things. Episode 14, you're currently listening to. absolutely dribbling.
Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Oh, this is the self-proclaimed sexier half of Dribbling Dimes, Emilio the Poet.
Yo, this is Manny Digital.
This is Day Bar is Open.
From?
Absolutely fucking not.
Podcast.
Yeah, so welcome to the show.
We're doing a cross collaboration right now. Millennials meets basketball. The foundation of all that actually is all three of us grew up in the same neighborhood over here in the Bronx, White Plains Road. And our friend DJ was in town in the Bronx, so we huddled up and we're recording this podcast. So
Had to make it happen.
Thank you guys for making this happen, man. It's a dope-ass joint collaborative, so.
No, super excited. You guys are doing a great job and want to be a part of this, and let's make it happen.
Likewise.
So first and foremost, let's properly introduce kind of your journey.
Okay.
So we talked about the Bronx roots.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents are Dominican.
Yep, both of them.
Just as well as ours are. You guys landed in the Bronx. You were born in the Bronx, if I'm not mistaken.
Right? Our Lady of Mercy.
Our Lady of Mercy Hospital. And then you took your ass, you took your talents overseas.
Not to South Beach. Well, not to South Beach. not to South Beach immediately, but eventually to South Beach.
South Beach, that's funny.
So you went upstate a little bit. You was in White Plains for a little while after you left the Bronx. And then you skirted on over to India.
New Delhi? New Delhi, India.
So how the fuck does that happen?
Oof, where I begin. So, yes, my parents are both Dominican because people assume that I say India like your mom. When I say, I see your mom after a while, I mention, my mom's still in India. She's like, oh, you do look a little bit Indian.
I'm
like,
oh, my God.
I'm like, that's not really how it went down, but all right.
Yeah, that's just the normal Dominican racism. Don't worry about it.
But I would say it's also the ignorance. They just don't. Dominicans don't know.
It's everybody, bro. It's not just it's everybody.
Dominicans especially come over here to New York. It's Dominican Republic and New York, and that's it. They don't know anything else. There's no United States.
I could have said anything. Yeah. Moscow. Oh, you do look a little risky.
Russia.
So you landed in New Delhi.
New Delhi, yeah. So pretty much my mom was working in Stanford, Connecticut, but she was going back and forth to India a lot. And she just got tired of, like, she could control me at school in White Plains. She couldn't control me in the Bronx, though. Mm-hmm. And I think she kind of saw the writing on the wall, and was like, we're going to India. And then we really went to India for, like, a summer vacation. And then 10 years later, I'm graduating from high school in India. So
she got you.
She got me. I should have realized, though. I'm like, why is everything going in storage? And why we don't have an apartment anymore? But
Wait. So part of it was you started to wild out.
I started to wild out because I was hanging out on 174th and Boston Road, my dad's record shop. And then, it was a fucking terrible neighborhood. Like, bloods everywhere. Yeah, it was bad, man. I was playing basketball nonstop, so I felt safe there. And I was like my dad's son, so everybody knew me, but it was awful. So she was like, no, we're packing this shit up. We're going to India, and India changed my life.
Okay, so we're going to rewind now.
Yes, definitely.
Right? So that's a good foundation. Just so people that are listening can understand, when we start going on tangents and you start speaking in Hindi.
I'm not going to speak in Hindi, but yes. Okay.
You got to throw a few Hindi. Come on, for your Hindi followers, bro. You got to give them some love.
I want to say this, man, because I'm noticing how you pronounce words, even in English, a lot different.
Literally. To my credit, I went to a British school.
No, but it's cool, though. I think it just speaks to your worldly experience.
Well, you said to your credit, I think you're faking the funk, then. Because if you went to India and you went to a British school.
No, but that's...
What do you mean, bro?
I know India was conquered by, yes, I get that, but still, you gotta, like, homegrown. Like, you didn't come to the Bronx.
It's harder to say.
Man, I feel like I'm accent neutral. Like, it comes out at times, but
literally.
No, but that's how you're supposed to say it, right?
Right. Exactly. That's English.
Okay. I also, see that? See, and that's also what I think, that's what it comes down to. That's how you believe it now to be.
That's how it is.
That's how you do it.
Literally.
So back to your,
I want
the Bronx basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, that's where you were going.
Yes, exactly. Where I went.
So you know, we're a little bit older than you are,
right?
And very little bit. I'm 8 years senior. Mm-hmm. You just turned 30.
Just turned 30.
So I'm gonna be 39 in May, right? So I'm 8 and change older than you. And you're about 6 years older than DJ.
Yeah, I'm 36, but I'm looking more like a good 27.
So yeah. 40, okay.
Yeah. So, yo, the hate is real. It smells like hate.
So you saw us on the block playing ball.
Right.
Right. And you played, I don't remember playing with
you. I don't
you
think we ever played it that much together. Yeah.
Because by the time you got on the scene playing ball, I was already out fucking right. in college or whatever.
Yeah.
I do remember playing ball with you.
Yeah, a lot.
In Loretta.
In the summer, yeah.
So how was it you growing up on this block? And like, what was your perspective of basketball on the block?
So, okay, when I was young, still living in the Bronx or still living in Yonkers with my mom, like, I felt like the young kid, right? So it was like, you guys were just like, not too good for me, but just like they're not trying to play basketball with someone who's right. fucking 6 years their junior.
Right.
But then once
that's
I hit,
you felt?
That's how I felt.
Okay.
That's crazy.
How I felt. Yeah. I feel like the only time I really felt included was like when we play like slugs, like handball in uh-huh. front of the building. But as far as basketball itself, like it was like nah. Kind of, I feel like with basketball comes like a level of like maturity, right? It's like yo, we're not trying to play with someone who just doesn't know what the fuck they're doing yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Slugs is like I'm literally just doing this. Right. So
no, but
like,
but it's also 6 years. Like you're 12, 18
right.
is a big difference.
Right, exactly.
It's a big difference.
In college, that's like a senior playing with a sophomore in high school. It's like that's not gonna happen, right? So I get that now. But that was my perspective. But when I got older, man, I was like 15, 16. I felt that exception come in way more. Mm-hmm. I would come in and it would be me, you, and Steven or Sammy, Loretta, 9 a.m. Let's ride.
Yeah.
And like, because I feel like I was, first of all, at 16, I was also 6'5".
That's true.
So regardless of how young I was, people were not going to fucking look at me as a kid anymore.
Right. So that's what fucked me up, right?
Because
I think the last time I saw you before your growth spurt, you must have been maybe 10, 11 years old.
Right, so still 5 foot whatever, 5 foot five, 5 foot
and you
six.
Were still, I mean,
tall for my age.
Tall,
yeah, for sure.
But I remember vividly the next time I saw you
in
Miami.
Yeah.
At Raw Sushi, I never forget. And then fucking, you just pop out of the woodwork, yo, what's up, Tito? And I'm like, for a second, I'm like, yo, who are you, big ass dude? And then I
why is your voice so deep?
Yeah, yo, that was the next day. I was like, when did this dude grow a pair of balls? And then I realized who you were, and I was like, holy shit, DJ, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And yeah, so what, you're 6'5"?
Right now, I'm 6'6".
Oh, fuck you. Like, you're going to grow more?
I grew an inch my sophomore year of college.
Fuck you.
Fuck these fucking guys.
Fuck your millennial ass.
Whoa.
I mean, fuck them in a good way, though.
No, yeah.
Because you're our guest. Well, you're not. We're all guests here.
But yeah, no, the basketball thing was great, man. Like, I feel like I try to take a lot of things I learned.
Go.
From the Bronx and apply to India and fucking schooling them over there. And
so you was schooling them?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't fair. Like, these kids, I mean, they grew up on all they played was cricket and soccer. And right. then you had a kid who was exposed to real basketball over here, going over there and just fucking trying spin moves on them. And they're like, it wasn't fair.
Is basketball in India now more developed than when you started playing?
Yeah, because I think the NBA, I mean, it's just smart. It's the second highest population in the world. You got to fucking assume that some next NBA star is going to come from there.
Right.
So they're putting way more grassroots effort now. Because, awesome. Like, for me, example, all I knew was basketball from the age of, like, 4 or 5.
Right.
For them, they're not picking up a basketball to the age of 14.
Mm.
That makes sense.
They don't really know what's going on. It's too late.
When was the last time you were back there?
In India?
Yeah.
A year and a half ago.
And like, so you've seen the growth as far as basketball.
Yeah, and I got friends who partner with the NBA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got a couple of friends who are actually a part of like helping those grassroots effort get blossom. So,
what do you think? Is there an interest for the game? Because I know cricket is prevailing over there, right?
Yeah, but I mean social media, the internet. I mean, people know who like the third guy off the bench for the Thunder are now in India, right? That wasn't happening back in the day. You had to fucking stay up till 5 a.m. to watch, you know, Shaq play. So things have definitely changed now with media. And it's just, it's more prevalent in everywhere.
That's awesome.
So back to the block.
Yeah.
So you would play with these guys. Did you ever get a chance to play in the corner when we had the rollaway rim?
No.
No.
I was too young for that.
Did you see those?
Yeah, I saw those days. I would see it from my balcony and like, I wish I was friends with them. Oh, sorry, my balcony sounds too nice. My fire escape.
Thank you.
So,
is that what they call it in India? Do they even have fire escapes over there?
No, we call it balconies.
But they're actually...
Oh, yeah, no. Fire escape is just a New York term. That I,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we don't have fire escapes. You die if you're up there.
Wait. Well,
that's nice.
If you're on the top floor, you're probably not coming down.
No, but what I'm saying is, as far as a visual, Give me a visual.
It's a balcony.
It's a balcony. We have balconies. We don't have things that you come climbing down other people's like.
So it actually looks pretty.
It's pretty.
But let's be honest, DJ was like a king out there too. So.
Yeah, you was.
No, I wasn't a king. The king of fucking.
What?
Bro, it's like when you guys go back to DR, it's a different lifestyle.
No, I don't want to hear that.
Nah,
shit.
You was on some Fresh Prince shit.
I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah. But it's okay. It's okay.
Here in Dribble and Dimes, we keep it all the way fucking real. Right. We're not gonna sugarcoat shit.
This ain't Dribble and Dimes. This is absolutely fucking not Dribble and Diamond.
Okay, you know what? Right. I'm just
merchandise on the way.
So, back to the block, right? So we used to roll out just to paint a picture for people who listen, right? So imagine like a Huffy. I think it might have been a Huffy brand. You know, backyard basketball hoop that you buy at Toys R Us. Back when rest in peace, Toys R Us. You take off the base, you put the pole part of it into a garbage can. Think of old school metal round garbage cans, right? And then you fill that up with cement. And that was the hoop that we used to bring out into the corner. Why? Because we fucked it up so much that the base could no longer withstand
the dunking, right?
Right. Because, we lowered that shit.
Yeah.
And we were pounding the fuck out of it, right? And so... That's how we concocted like a hoop to continue playing. Mm-hmm. And so it was coming upon us to go across the street, go get the fucking the hand truck and roll that bitch across the street to then put it in the corner and play.
Mm.
Before that, we had it wasn't even plywood. It was just some fucking driftwood that we found in the street somewhere. Nailed that shit up to the telephone pole.
Yeah, right. That's the one I remember.
So that one...
It never came down.
That shit is still there to this day.
Really?
The cops came. They tried to take the whole shit down. They got the rim off, but they couldn't get the backboard off.
Nothing.
So if you go there now...
Cemented forever.
They cut off pieces of it, but the core of it is there.
If you see it, you know.
Forever and ever. We gotta take a picture.
But anyhow, so that's how we used to play ball. Those are the two main hoops that we use. Mm-hmm. And I ask you because that's the... most significant memory I have of playing ball on the block. Granted, we used to go to Matthews Park. We used to go to Loretta Park, Bronx Park East. But that right there was just the easiest opportunity.
Right.
So you say you used to watch people play from the fire
scene. Yeah.
What was it that, granted, you mentioned, like, I would have loved to be those people's friends.
Right.
You said that. But what was that view like? Because you're kind of a spectator.
Yeah, it just seemed like pure joy, right? I mean, obviously, like, everyone is competitive, so, like, there'll be a fucking, like, petty touch foul, and I see you guys fucking arguing about, like, the dumbest shit. I'm like, can we just fucking get back to this game?
Can you entertain me, bitches?
Exactly. I think got an hour before my mom picks me up.
That was so true, though.
But no, it just seemed like pure joy, man. Just a bunch of, like, 5, 6 of y'all just having a good time, and it just seemed like something, like, fun to do, like... I guess egos were involved, but like you guys would leave that shit on the court and then go back to the soup and just start talking shit and ragging on each other about the same game. Like it seemed
hours.
Yeah, like a good time.
Were you around when the gunshots was ringing?
No, I was not. Ball? That's when I went back to Yonkers.
I don't know that.
You don't remember that? Maybe you weren't out that day.
Thank God.
So we were playing ball in the corner, and I won't name names because I ain't that kind of guy. But there was a shootout on the block, and. Bullets started flying, and all you see is just throw ourselves on the floor.
Really?
When everything... And me, and I can't remember who else was there, but me trying to make sure to preserve the hoop, right? Once the shots stop, I look up. Everything seems cool. I grab the hand truck.
And I took it back.
Yo, let's go put this shit back. We don't need no holes in this shit.
Priorities.
Yo, son.
I actually remember the gunshots. I was upstairs. I throw myself in the back.
Under the bed.
I went to the back of the apartment and I threw myself there. But I wanted to ask you a question regarding that. Those moments, like when you saw us playing, did that kind of like get you fired up to play ball? Did you feel like because you were left out, you were like, damn, I got
to
do this?
Yeah, I feel like I had to be better than you guys. Like that's how I felt. Like when I finally got my moment when I was like, 15, 16, and like we would go to Matthews together, me, you, and Steve, and Edwin, I think too. Yeah. I was like, bro, I'm about to fucking show out.
I remember.
I've had 8 months of practice. Let's do this.
I remember that shit. That was a lot. I was like, I'm thinking to myself, how did I expect him to be good? I thought he was trash in the back of my head.
Yeah, because you're thinking little kid. Yeah,
little kid living in India, like, yo.
So what? He's tall. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, no.
Our asses.
Yeah. Trust me.
You were the snuffle.
There was no, like, take it easy. I was like, no, we're going to play. And we're going to keep fucking playing. Like, I don't care, the lights are out. Like, yo, let's figure this shit out. We not stopping. Yo, I got 6 years to catch up.
Until you bleed, motherfucker. You're playing.
I want to say this, though. Real quick, back to what you were saying about playing in the corner, right? So, it's funny because we would play, and we would talk about the game, or not only the game, we would talk about the NBA, but we would talk about our game for the rest of the evening. So, we would be in the stoop.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you took that shot, but you should have opened the shot. Yo, the rest of the night.
That's what I'm saying. I was allowed to come down and hang out with you guys on the stoop,
right?
But then it was like, I felt like I wasn't involved because, like, it wasn't in the game. So, that's why, like, I enjoyed being a part, like... Once I finally became a part of that, it was like, all right, now I can be a part of the continued conversation on the stoop until fucking 1 a.m.
So. But I left the block, so it don't count now.
It was probably better, I think. It was probably better once he left, and it was just me and you.
I always liked this guy.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
No, but okay, so back to you so the transition. Right? Mm-hmm. So now you took that fire, you wanted to prove yourself, you were going back and forth. You decided to jump into basketball a little bit more. You took it more serious, basically. That's what I'm trying
to say. So I mean, I tried to take it as serious as I could. Like, the thing is, my mom saw, like, immediately, like, yo, she would come to my games, and my school was, like, blowing teams out, like, fucking by 20 points. And just, like, or even if it's a close game, it's,
wait,
like...
Wait, what school? This is elementary school.
No, this is me in India now. Oh, so India. Me in India, like, my team, like, my British school is, like, blowing teams out. Or if it's not a blowout, the competition is just doing nothing for me.
Right.
So she, like, really pressed the school, like, yo, let's get some international tournaments going. And we went to Kazakhstan... looking for better competition. We went to Uzbekistan to find better competition. She has some friends who work from a local news station, so they will follow me around with their video cameras. Like, I had proper fucking, like, CDs sent to different
tape.
Tape, bro.
Do you still have access to any of that stuff?
I can try to get it, man.
Don't fucking try. Get it.
Get it.
Get it?
We want to post it here. Yeah. All right. I think we should...
I'll try, man. At least I'll get some video of me, like, in my old basketball jersey.
So wait, talk about something's really fucking bothering me right now. So you just finished saying that your mom pressed the school to take y'all international.
Yeah.
So your mom's a boss.
My mom's the best.
Boss.
Your mom's the best, but she's also a boss.
You're the boss lady.
Boss.
So how does that happen?
She literally rolled up. It was like Mrs. Sherma. That was my PE teacher's name. She's like, it's time for you guys to start playing some more international basketball because the local things aren't working. Yeah.
And what, your mom had plugs in those countries? Or
she was just like, so she pretty much planted the seed and they ran with it. And like, all right, let's go find out what school makes sense, what schools are aligned with all like academics, and we'll go visit them. And that's how they found out about Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan.
Let me tell you how it goes down in my kid's school. If I walked up into the PE, hey, Mr. Whatever the hell, I need y'all to up the competition. You know what they're going to say?
Take your kids, go somewhere
else. Get the fuck out of here.
Yo.
So your mom, did your mom have dirt on them?
Nah, man. She just wanted me to... I mean, I really think so. I think she knew what the cost of sending someone in 2007 was going to be for college. So she really wanted me to get a scholarship. I mean, I wanted one too. So she was like, if things keep up the way they are, that's probably not going to happen. Because I'm already at a disadvantage, right? Like, I would come back to New York for like basketball camps. But like, fucking my league play over there, like, I don't have scouts coming to see me. I don't have any of that. So... she's like, all right, we need to give him a chance to fucking...
Be seen.
No, that's so... Yo, your mom that's a visionary. That's entrepreneurship. That's business. But that's a... Yo, God bless her. Shout out to you. This is... I hope she got
to
hear this.
She listens to it, trust me. She lets me know when I fuck up.
But everything else,
she
don't know.
Everything else she loves, but she's like, really? You put that out there? I'm like, mom, I gotta give people content.
Yeah. But if she's the type of person that she only points out your floor, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Nah,
she's a normal Dominican mom. She would never do that.
That's not normal.
So have you been low-key Danny since you've been in New York?
Yeah.
You're always low-key Danny. That's why I don't hear about you. I don't even know you were here when you leave.
Yeah. What do you mean, like, from, like, this trip?
Yeah, this trip.
Yeah, low-key, man. Like, just me and my mom just doing the mother and son thing. Yeah, relax, man. I can wild out in Miami. I'm here in New York just for
it's not even about wild out. It's family.
So, fast forward. So, did you get a scholarship at all?
Yo, so this is where I fucked up. So, and this is where I think my millennial mindset really fucking kicked in at the age of, like, 16. So, I got two scholarships. Adelphi University, which is a D2 school in Long Island.
Long Island, yeah, it's a good school.
Did not know that.
You should have called me.
Exactly. There you go. Asking for help. Something I'm not good with. And then UNC Wilmington Seahawks.
That's a good school too.
D1.
Yeah.
So these are my two scholarships. I applied to the elite of blue fucking chips. Duke, Maryland, Michigan, this Miami, UNC Chapel Hill. Again, only the schools that I know of, because I wasn't here during my high school years. I didn't fucking like see other schools. Like, I didn't know about all this shit. So I was just like, well, these are the ones that all these fucking NBA players went to. So I got to go there. If it's not there, I have no chance. So I should have asked for help, seek advice from somewhere. But I was like, no, I'm just going to apply to these schools. I didn't want to go to Delphi because I didn't want to be in New York. I was like, I had a mind to, like, I don't want to come back to New York. Never heard of Wilmington, North Carolina.
Sure.
And then no bullshit. Like, so I really think I had like I was afraid to tell my Indian friends that I was going to go to UNC, but not the UNC.
Oh my God.
I'm the dad. I did not want to say I was going to UNC Wilmington. I wanted to say if it's going to be UNC, it's going to be UNC, UNC. So I was like, nah, fuck that school. So I turned down two fucking full rides. Wow. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to Miami. They gave me decent, like, international student scholarship. And I was like, I'm going to fucking try to walk on. That did not work from day one. I was like.
So it was a straight academic partial scholarship.
It was straight. I went to Miami just for academics. There was no, hey, we'll try you out for the nothing, bro.
What, did you get full free ride offers from those UNC
Wilmington? UNC Wilmington, yes. And Adelphi, it was like 80% they're going to take care of.
I think Wilmington was going to give you a free ride?
Yeah.
And they were D1. They're D1.
Yeah.
You're a fucking mess.
But did they know of you as a ball player?
They got the DVD. I sent them every school. So I applied. I applied to both schools. Yeah. So I applied to all these schools and I sent them my DVD.
So you gotta call them and say I'm sorry.
And take me back as a third.
Yo, tell them you're sure.
As a 6-year senior.
No, just tell them something, man. Something.
I just got my MBA, but I think I am still eligible for 4 years. If
I really need a water boy around this.
Yeah, bro. Like, I really, it was just, again, it's all me. It was naivety. I was like, bro, I felt like I was entitled. Like, you're lucky to get a 6'6" dude who's played international ball. And I was like, yo, I've gone to camps. I've won a bunch of trophies playing against kids my age. Like, why wouldn't you want me? So,
do you feel like this is the millennial in you speaking, like the privilege, the 100%, entitled,
100%. I was like, yo, I went to New York. I proved myself there. I went to camps in New Jersey. I was playing against other elite high school players. Like, I held my own.
Like who?
I mean, I guess they weren't that elite because I don't fucking remember their names. They didn't fucking pan out to anything. But these were like, I went to, what was it?
The ABC
camps. ABC camps. I did 5-star invitational in Jersey. I went to the Knicks have a camp when they had the Chelsea Pierce going. It was, Chelsea Pierce had their own camps. So these were fucking not expensive, but like camps that had like elite fucking 15 to 18 year olds coming to play. And I held my own. And I was like, yeah, so I'm going to be straight. I'm going to send my DVD. It's going to be good to go. But. Yeah, it didn't pan out that way.
What did your mother say when you declined the free ride to Wilmington?
Bro, again, so I think it's not her fault. I don't think she knew how
works. I'm not blaming her at all.
It was my fault. It's definitely.
I just wonder. I wonder what she's like. She must have seen the offer come in.
Right.
And then what was the conversation?
Yeah.
I was like, Mom, like I've never heard of this school. I don't want to be in Long Island. I don't want to be in North Carolina. I mean, out of all the schools, like Miami just sounded the most appealing. And I'm like, and I promised her that I'm gonna try out.
Okay.
So I'm good. Like in my mind, like when I left India to come to the States,
you were on that team.
There was no doubt. I was like, bro, I am showing up, knocking on fucking Coach Hafe's door, and like you're fucking signing me up. And then nah.
What was that experience like? Did you feel like there was a falling out because of your own talent or lack thereof?
Falling out with my mom?
No. As far as you not making the team in Miami.
So I mean, it was a couple things. I mean, I went to his office, I met like his assistant, and he was like, listen, I'll be honest with you, you have no chance of walking on this team. And this is just me showing up in fucking normal street clothes. Right. It wasn't even seeing me play. And then I was like, that kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. I'm like, yo, let me at least try. And then when he said, at best, you'll make the practice squad, like in my mind, like I should embrace that challenge. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna fucking prove you wrong. Once they told me that was the best, I was like, then fuck it, I'm not even waste my time. So I never even fucking had a proper try of it.
Wait, I want to go back real fast. Cause so your mom and you had that conversation.
Yep.
You told her, all right, I'm going to go to Miami. And in your mind, you're on that team. And she was just like, está bien, mi hijo. No te preocupes.
No te preocupes.
Lo que tú quieras.
Sí.
Okay. So, right. Straight up Dominican mom.
Straight up Dominican mom.
Okay.
Yo, that breaks my heart.
It breaks my fucking heart.
I gotta be honest with you. Breaks
my
heart.
I had no idea.
I didn't expect you to say all this. I didn't know it was that deep. I didn't think you took basketball at all seriously.
No, I took it. Dude, that was all I did, like, from sophomore year onwards, man. Once I knew I was gonna be, like, I'm gonna be in a 6 foot, 6'7" range, 6 foot, 6'7" range. Like, I'm like, all right, let me fucking craft my skills. I mean, but obviously, looking back, I wish I would have taken, obviously, one of the fucking scholarships and, like, balled out there or attempted. Yeah. And then even if that didn't pan out to it, at least I don't have 80 grand of debt looking at me in the face every single day.
How's that feel, by the way?
It sucks, bro.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's humbling.
Next time you really to make a decision, call me.
I will call you.
Don't do that dumbass millennial bullshit.
I was just thinking, man. This speaks to your podcast. Even more important that you have a podcast.
Facts.
Especially about millennials, because I feel like this motherfucking entitlement, privilege shit is
100%.
It spoils great opportunities, man.
Yo, and I think I mentioned that one of the episodes where, like, you just really need to take a step back and be aware of the situation. And, like, with that, there was so much lack of awareness. It's crazy when I talk about it out loud, because I was like, at no point did I ever, like, just write this shit down and say, all right, this isn't adding up. Like, I was like, no, Miami it is. Right. Walk in. D1, ACC, they're going to see me on TV every fucking weekend? Like, yo, it's going to be great.
Logic out the window.
Lack of logic.
But, okay, that aside, when you, as far as your own assessment and your own game, how did you feel about that going in?
Yo, I genuinely felt confident? Like, so listen to my thing. When I started playing in these camps, I was like, all right, I can hold my own, but I'm not standing out the way I was standing out in India.
Okay.
So maybe, like, the fear of, like, not being able to be that star was also with me, like, you know what, then just fuck this. Like, I'm 18, living in Miami on my own. I'm sure I'll find some other avenue for myself. And I did it. I mean, it all worked out.
No, for sure.
But, yeah, I think, like, going to those camps and just seeing that I was just, like, keeping up as opposed to being the fucking guy.
Yeah.
That kind of threw me for a loop as well.
Okay. Well, okay, now fast forward that. Assuming you take UNC Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
With all that said, as far as you just keeping up,
right,
where would you have seen yourself? I don't like to use the word realistic,
but yeah,
let's just throw that out there.
Yeah,
just for the sense of what would you have seen yourself as being projected a player if you could?
Probably small forward, power forward, coming off the bench.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, if I look back at that and, you know, I tell my kids I was a fucking D1 player that got fucking 20 minutes a game and averaged 8 points 7 rebounds a game, I thought I'd be a fucking good
career.
That's
phenomenal. No, I appreciate you.
Yeah,
it's 8 more points than I have now. So.
No, but seriously, like, first of all, I want to say thank you for that, because it's a lot of times we think star or nothing.
And right, right.
It's,
I mean, that's what I was thinking.
Right, and especially on this podcast, like, we try to let everyone, especially our youth, know that, like, yo, success is a lot of different things. It doesn't mean just NBA or nothing. It's not NBA or bust here.
Right, know? No, I fucking about that too.
There's success,
like,
in different ways, and I think that's why
you got to define it differently to you. Yeah, like, what is that goal, and then figure that out.
Yo, if I'm your parent, I'm fucking you up.
No, but I'm surprised your mom didn't sit you down.
No, I'm not surprised, but it's not her fault. Like,
I'm not blaming her. I'm not blaming her.
No, but at that moment in time, like, you as a parent, you want your kid to have the opportunity to do whatever the fuck they want to do.
Right.
All right.
Right?
And so, and I think she's also just so happy I was going to be the first one to go to college.
Right.
So of that generation. And, like, you know, I just wanted to be happy. Again, I had only child syndrome with her because I was her only kid. Because she, right. So she just wanted me to be happy.
Yeah. I get it.
But, yeah, neither of us sat down and was like, hey, let's just fucking think about this logically. Like, we can save 70 grand if you go this route.
No, but I think that, you know what, at the end of the day, this is not about regrets or anything.
Yeah.
It's more just a perspective. And I think it's dope that you can impart your wisdom, your experience now, with other youth coming up before you, especially on our podcast, it's so fucking prevalent. We talk to high school kids. So we don't want people to make the same mistakes, you know. Especially not because they're privileged or entitled. It's like, no, dude, you're gonna save $80,000 just because you're a second string fucking. Who cares?
Yeah. Not only that though, the experience
and that too.
Like the collegiate, the athletic experience that a college athlete
goes
different.
Through. You're a superstar
at
bro.
A D1 school.
Yeah.
Like it's a really good look.
Right.
Yes, man.
Right, okay, so that's what I had in my mind, right? So I was only thinking blue chip, these six D1 schools. I wasn't thinking, oh, there's like 100 D1 schools. Like I didn't know that.
Right, right.
So okay, that was
the lack of knowledge is another thing.
Yeah.
Like it was hard to come by. It's still hard to come by. A lot of people don't really know.
Right.
Like you just the collegiate requirements, a lot, that's why you see a lot of kids redshirt their first year. Because they don't have everything in order when they're getting to go to college to actually start when they get there.
Right.
So a lot of them have to redshirt because it's not known how to get all this shit. Like, they got to go figure this shit
out. And those are kids who live here, bro. Imagine me living over there and only coming here for 2 months out of the year and I have to get all this information and take it back.
Yeah, I didn't take that into account, actually. I'm over here still thinking because just from a mental aspect, I'm thinking like, yo, you're a Bronx dude. You're one of us.
Right.
So you're thinking the way I probably would have thought, or probably my brother would have thought, like very minuscule. We're not thinking, D1 is like this big. We're thinking D1 is...
Right.
How do you think?
Yeah,
Duke,
I'm thinking there's seven
UNC,
schools. That's
Kentucky,
it.
You know what I mean? It's, you know, so it's easy for me to bash you now, but it's, in retrospect, it's like,
over there, I had no idea.
Well, you know, like really, it's not like now, like, you know, you fucking open your cell phone and you have access to the
schools.
Entire world.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
We didn't have that then, you
right.
know? I mean, we had it, but not like this.
It's not
at your fingertips. We had to go to the library for shit like this.
Right, you had to put more work in, and I wasn't ready to do that
shit.
Yeah,
and you hadn't the guidance, I feel. Like,
right.
Your mom didn't know about this.
Yeah, my mom didn't know about
whoever.
Basketball. Yeah,
whoever, so. It's relative.
I'm still really pissed that you didn't go to Wilmington. Like,
no, but you know, I really wish
And
you
now that I actually been really, to Wilmington as an adult,
right,
I'm like, that shit would have been great.
Oh, yeah. Did you go to the campus?
No, I went to, when I worked in Charlotte,
right.
had a company trip to Wilmington. I'm like, yo, this is, I actually went to the campus to recruit. It's a gorgeous campus by the beach. I'm
to
like,
recruit
for my company. Yeah.
And
I'm
why
like,
did you do that?
Did you smack yourself?
No.
I didn't smack myself.
No. But when you went on campus, did it dawn on you about everything we just
did? Yeah. I'm like, bro, I could have been here. I could have been alumni.
How long ago was this? This is crazy.
Three years ago.
Yo, dude, you know, this is why I love life, bro. It's no coincidences, man.
Bro.
I
was in a classroom.
It just goes right back full circle for that ass.
Interviewing people for a job. And I'm
that
like, bro, I don't want to be doing that. I want to be fucking alumni. My jersey should be hanging here.
Probably could have.
No,
you should hold
the
be
best.
Sitting
the
in the
best
box,
Seahawk from all time.
Seats.
All right, I'm not gonna keep fucking beating you down.
No. But let me ask you a question. Like, does anybody that were recruiting you at that time, were they still affiliated with the school?
Well, no. I mean, I only went. I was just there talking to business seniors.
Yeah,
no,
I know
so.
What you were there for. I'm just saying. Do
no,
you
he
know?
Just got a letter. You didn't even see nobody.
No, I didn't see anybody. Yeah,
oh,
I just got,
okay.
It was
no
like
contact,
there was no. I mean, again, living in India, I wasn't about to take like a
no. That makes sense. That
campus
makes...
visit. So it was all based off like communication, emails, and letters and stuff
that's
like that.
Well,
but shout out to I don't remember his fucking name, but it was a previous coach from Maryland. He sent me a very nice handwritten letter just
really?
Letting me know that hey, like, although we're not taking on recruits right now, whatever the case may be, really appreciate you applying, enjoyed your video. That was nice.
Yo, I really
yeah, that was nice.
I really want us to get our hands on that
footage. Yeah, I'm pretty sure my mom has it.
I really like to see that, man.
I'll talk to her.
I'm
about
very
that.
Interested
yes.
in that, man.
I'm actually just gonna thank her now because she's gonna give it to us.
Yes,
so thank you
mom.
And I'm gonna say this, man, and we can talk off air of this, but so we like to follow up with our guests.
Mm-hmm.
And not just because, you know, this, I know we know each other, we're friends, but I'm just saying in general, because there's a human aspect to this podcast, you know. It's not just you're a guest and you had a nice experience, but we want to actually have people see what it is about. Like, who are you, the person, but the basketball player, because it's, you know, dribbling dimes. But so that kind of stuff helps the visual.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And also, I'll say this, and this might be taboo. So when I was a kid, my perspective on you was a little bit different. I'm thinking, I try to be very empathetic, even on silence. I'm thinking, damn, you're 6'6", right, or 6'5". I didn't know you're, I just knew you were tall.
He was 6'5".
I didn't know how tall you were.
I grew that inch.
I'm 6'2". I'm 6'2", but you look like towering over
right.
me. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking, and mind you, we're kids, so you look like you're 6'8", to me. You know what I mean? You might as well. My point was, I'm thinking to myself, damn, in my head, it must be a lot of pressure being this tall, because if you're not as good as we all assume a person of your stature is, then it's like you're a fuck up.
Bro, do you
I'm
know
talking
how
about
many...
from Bronx term. In Bronx.
Bro,
term.
It's not just Bronx, bro, it's everything, bro. I could be walking on my on campus at Miami and it'd be like, yo, so like are you a part of the basketball team?
I haven't seen you.
Yeah. I'm like, nah, bro, I'm going to fucking my English class right now. But like yeah, no, for sure. I get that all the time, bro. I get like not so much like where people get it now, but it's like they would always ask me, "Oh, you must be playing basketball all the time." It's like because I'm tall. Like I know there's like a meme where like someone like hands someone a card. It's like I don't play basketball just because I'm tall. Leave me alone. Like
I kind of subscribe to that though. Like, and I don't mean like you're tall as shit. You should be playing college or pro.
Right.
That's not what I mean. But as a hobby, at least,
you should be. No, I do. I play ball 4 times a week, like, till today.
Well,
so,
well, let me share my experience of how I flipped that shit myself. Okay, I go on vacation to DR with Huso. Mm. Right, so we're in this sandwich spot, Chimmy spot.
Mm.
I walk in, and you know, I'm just, you know, at this point, I'm just 19. I'm fucking drunk. I'm talking shit. You know, loosey goosey. I don't give a fuck. I walk in the spot, we order Chimmy's, we're talking shit. Next thing you know, the guy in the back was making the sandwich. He's like, yo, hey, I saw you on TV. Don't you play in this team? And I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, I do.
It's me. Free fucking sandwiches.
Get the fuck out of here.
I don't give a fuck.
Did he even tell you your name?
Supposed to be, I say. I'm 19.
Hoop dreams.
We barely got money. It's a fucking sandwich. We got. Yes! Fuck. Yo, what's up? Yo, he was. Oh, yo, remember you. Yo, you good? I'm like, damn, I am good.
I'm good. I'm great.
I'm the fucking man. Yo, I don't forget that shit, man.
Yo,
hey,
so
I flipped it. You won't call me a snob? You won't call me tall?
Yes.
Fuck it.
Yes, I am.
I'm gonna be that until you figure it the fuck out.
That's on you.
So we talked about the implications of some of your millennial-esque decisions.
Right.
You labeled them shits that, and I didn't.
I agree with them.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about whether or not you regret any of those mm-hmm. things, right? And so, as you look at, you know, from a basketball perspective, collegiate perspective, mm-hmm. and now when you got all this debt, do you regret any of those things?
So regret in the sense that I know I could be financially in a better spot if I would have taken maybe just, even if I would have fucking played for 2 years and they cut me because it didn't work out, that's still 2 years less of debt to worry about. And then at the time, I mean, Miami's a private school, so I didn't get as many scholarship opportunities as far as like, provided to me because like it's like 45 grand a year.
Yeah, it pretends to be one of the Ivy.
The Ivy of the, exactly. So again, I put myself in a bad spot from that perspective. But I mean, again, it all worked out. I think I'm exactly where I need to be. Met the right people along the way, so it's fine. But
right.
Yeah, again, I would have probably preferred to not have 80 grand of debt facing me, and then I did my MBA, so that's an extra 45 grand of debt.
I thought it was 80 all in.
No, bro, it's
bumba.
Bro, yeah, my grandkids are paying this shit.
Fuck.
I wish you didn't mention that, man.
Yo, these podcasts need to blow the fuck up.
Blow the fuck up, bro. Yeah, this shit better do numbers.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Top five or nothing, motherfucker. Subscribe. Donate, motherfucker. Donate.
All right.
Help.
Yeah, but again, I think in the end, it'll all work out for itself. Like, if it's a story I can tell my kids that, hey, like, right. I was in a similar spot to you, like, I'm not lucky enough to have a son or daughter who's in a good spot mm-hmm. athletically, I can be, hey, let's just fucking see what offers are out there, as opposed to saying, no, it has to be these top tier schools.
Right.
I think all parents even or kids have that mentality if it's not even sports. It could be like, well, I'm an engineer or I want to be a doctor. I can only get into these five right. or six schools.
Right.
Like, no, there's a ton of schools that can give you opportunity. At the end of the day, I want a doctor who's qualified, not because a doctor went to Harvard Med
School. Right, that makes sense. And I don't think anybody's looking like, oh, you went to Harvard? Did you go to Harvard, sir?
Right.
Oh, well, I can't do it. I'm sorry.
Right, and, no way. And the same thing applies if you're an NBA star. Once you're an NBA star, they're not saying, oh, but you're an NBA star who went to Marquette.
Right.
Right. They look at Jimmy Butler, not Jimmy Butler. Oh, he went to Marquette. Right. And he's not as good. Like,
that's a great...
Well, let's not poo-poo on Marquette, because Marquette...
No, but I get what he's saying.
All right, but it's not a Duke. It's not a blue
top five school.
That makes sense. You know what's funny? Up until you mentioned that, I never thought of that way.
Because they prove themselves on that playing field.
And it also speaks to the term about success, like what you value as success. Like, for example, like you at that time probably been success would have been Kentucky. Duke,
right.
Mm-hmm. Right? But there's no one way to success. So you going through the back door of Marquette, let's say, or UNC Wilmington.
Right.
And you fucking end up wherever the fuck.
Which, by the way, I think they went to the Big Dance not that long ago.
No, I don't know.
UNC Wilmington?
I think so.
Do you follow college basketball?
Just Miami. Oh, and St. John's a little bit.
I recommend it, man. These days...
We don't check facts here, so I could be completely blown smoke.
I feel like you're wrong with that one.
That's fine. We're just going to rock with that.
Yeah. No, it's okay. But it felt good.
That's me. That's my millennialism.
Yeah,
it just felt good, though.
Just make a facts. Just make a facts. Figure out later.
No. Fuck it. We just, we just shovel more shit on your fucking name. What are your spirits? We'll figure it out later. Right? You figure it out in the next episode.
Yo, so are you hooping now?
Yeah, man, so I hoop four times a week.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
so
man.
How's
so, I mean,
your
I,
game now?
Pretty good. I mean, again, I know for a fact that I stand by this. These are facts that I live by. When I walk onto any court, I'm the best passer on the court, period.
Yo, really?
Period. I don't care who's on the court. Yeah,
that's because
best.
I'm not on the court.
That's because I'm not playing.
I'm the best passer on the court.
I don't think
Why do you say you're the best passer?
Because I end up with like 11 assists in a fucking 16-point
Nobody's keeping
game.
The stats.
What's your game?
I'm keeping stats.
What's your game?
That shit don't count.
No, wait. What's your game like?
So if I had to compare someone, and not just because he's Dominican, it's probably Al Horford. Like, if I had to be fucking, if you need to drop 20, I'll drop 20. But if you need me just to get rebounds and set everybody else up, I'll do that as well.
That's dope. I would love to. Yo.
I'll box the shit out of you.
No. Fuck. I'm not going to go there. He's 6'6". Fucking six.
I don't care. I'm going to say it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Whatever.
Hey. Nobody's going to prove
it. No, you know why?
Right or wrong?
Who's going to verify this?
Yeah, no, but you know why I say that? Because he's not a kid anymore. Even though he's a kid to us.
I mean, we played in Miami.
We played for like 2 years straight.
I don't remember shit about it, so I can't tell you how well
exactly.
I fared.
He fucking elbowed you and you fucking lost consciousness.
It's very likely.
No, but I want to play. The next time I go to Miami. Isn't you, you're in Miami, right?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale. But like, I've been in Miami most of the time.
Where do you ball? Like
Yeah, so I'm in Elliott Fitness. I ball there on my own. So when I work out, my cardio is shooting around by myself twice a week, and then I play
dope.
In the evenings after work with some buddies from work, and then we're in a like corporate league every Thursday.
Damn, yo, that's dope, man. Let me tell you this real quick. Some years ago, I want to say 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, so I was super overweight, right?
Okay.
And I found basketball to be my cardio because I'm like, I want to lose weight, but I want to do it
a fun way.
Fun.
Yeah.
And I want to do something I enjoy.
Treadmill is terrible.
Yeah, I was like, fuck this running around shit. It just didn't motivate me for the next
thing. Right.
I'll do it 1 or 2 days, but
Running
weeks,
full course for
later,
fucking three
I'm
hours
like,
straight.
You know, I'm still fat. But anyway, so I would go, yeah, I'm a fat fuck.
Skinny fat.
I'm a fat fuck.
Yeah, that's me.
I got a fucking extra neck. So I'm like, I'm good. So I would do is I took specific drills in basketball. Like, for example, like dribbling.
Mm-hmm.
I would take, like, I used to watch Chris Paul, like, dribbling drills, and I would fucking dribble hard, and that shit would work my forearms. And I'd be fucking dripping, dying sweat, you know, but I'd work the skill,
mm-hmm.
and I'm losing my, and I'm getting fit.
Yeah.
And I would do the same thing with shooting, and I would work my shoulders, and I would do shooting drills, and I would do some sprints and stuff. So I was like, yo, this shit is fun. So at one point, it just became a game for me within the game.
Yeah.
And then now I'd want to play because now I'm fit to play also.
Right. So and you're also like ball handling skills getting better.
Now my skills are improved.
Right.
So now I would always play ball, like seldom around here. You know, I pick up game here and there. But now I'm already training myself for the game.
Right.
Whereas before, I'm like, I'm out of shape and I was rusty because I was working out. Doing treadmills of like I'm fucking uninspired treadmill
fucking hate that
30 minutes you know every other week excuse me so I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah,
so let's flip this conversation.
All right,
so you had some questions for us that we were talking about beforehand.
Yeah, man, so I wanted to talk about, like, so again, I know we were doing the millennial bashing because it was
apropos.
Yeah, so apparently we're all millennials in this room, but I don't see it.
You don't see it.
I'm kind of on the cusp.
So is he. So I wanted to ask you guys, like, when you got, be it Manny, your corporate world, or just Greta, when you were just like hanging out around here playing ball at Loretta, like when you see kids of my age, so when you were 24 and you saw those kids 16, 18 coming through playing, be it basketball, just your normal day of life at work in corporate America, like what was your perspective of that age group?
So I'll take it to the professional world first. I have a profound respect for the millennial in the workforce. You guys get a bad rap for a lot of shit, you know, sensitivity thing, whatever. But those that I've worked with, I've felt have been very diligent about the things that they do.
Hmm.
So a lot of people talk about millennials like they're lazy,
right.
Entitlement. Sure, maybe some of that is true. But in the advertising world that I've experienced working with these folks, they are about their shit. Very seldomly did I have to, and again, I managed a lot of these folks
right.
as well. So, like, you know, you get your little bullshit here and there, but I don't characterize that as a millennial trait necessarily. I think that's just a human thing.
Right.
You get a lot of bullshit from no matter what
age group
you're dealing with, and they're just different, right? Actually, I used to manage a gentleman that was way older than me, and he had some of the, you know, the stereotypical characteristics of
a millennial.
Right? And so I have that respect because they made my life easier work-wise. Like, those motherfuckers, they would go, like, you chart the course, and they're after.
That's it. They're not even pretty much. We don't even ask for help along the way, which probably is a poor trait too, to get feedback, but they would just run with it.
I prefer that. Right? Okay. And in my industry, it's encouraged.
Okay.
Like, yo, go swim until you feel like you're sinking, and then you call me. Mm. Not like not try to work out every potential scenario that can go wrong and have me give you all the answers ahead of time. Nah, fuck that. Go get your shit. When you get stuck, call me and have it be a relevant conversation. Not some, oh, but what if, da, 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 and then you kind of just get stuck, paralyzed, analyzing the situation.
Right.
So from a professional standpoint, I'm all about it. Basketball wise, I'm sick of the fucking three-pointer. The step back three destroys me.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. And I understand that the game, that's where it's at. I'm a Charles Oakley fanatic. I've said it many times on the Dribble and Dimes podcast. I appreciate the back to the basket kind of game.
Right.
Driving in the hole, like the paint game. Like,
and the point guard giving a nice entry pass to the post.
Yeah. And like just defense.
Right.
Like, I love the two-way player. I think they're the perfect balance. Right. I think a lot of people get this two-way credit these days that I don't think deserve it. But true two-way players, I appreciate totally, because they fuse both of those worlds to me.
Right.
And that, to me, is the essence of the game. The beauty behind the three-pointer or whatever is great.
Mm.
Love it. But there's still more that can be desired from the game outside of just the finesse that you see on TV.
Gotcha. And you feel like that age group of like 18 to 24-year-olds is what propelled that in the league right now?
That's where you see it. Like, that's when the tide changed.
Right.
Right? And so it's like, again, it's not, I can't call it a negative. It's just a different brand of basketball.
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
All right. So corporate America worked out for you.
Okay, so yeah, so as far as my experience with people of your generation or age group,
technically yours as well, but
yeah, damn it. Well, you divided us.
I didn't divide us, bro. I've been divided. That's why I have a fucking podcast now. Hashtag fucking absolutely fucking not.
You know what it is? I consider myself a millennial, but he said like, no, you're on the cusp, but then we proved not. But you still don't.
You're still on the cusp, bro.
So anyway, all right.
We don't claim you, bro.
Sorry, I claim you. This is what I say about it, though. As far as basketball, I'm not in the corporate world, but as far as basketball, I think my assessment has been, it's piggybacking off what my brother just said, from the Charles Oakley aspect. The physical tools, the physicality of the game, in my opinion, is something that y'all lack. So that's why the three-point game is so prevalent. You know, I feel like motherfuckers, it's less contact.
Yeah,
you don't have to go and get yours in the paint because now a step back three.
Right.
So you don't want that beef. You don't want that smoke, as they say. You know what I mean?
Are you scared of contact?
I'm not. No, hold on. Okay. I'm not saying it to say it's a negative. Right. I'm just saying that's what I noticed from
it sounds,
the brand. It's a style change.
It sounds like you just called them pussy.
No. Because Steph Curry's mastered that art. You know, I'm not knocking that. You know, Reggie Miller before was doing it. I'm not knocking.
Can we not talk about Reggie Miller on
this
podcast?
Yes, no, we're talking
Reggie. Fuck him.
He's a fucking classic.
But yeah, I get caught in between that though, because again, as a millennial big man, I guess like I'm dying for fucking contact in the post. I want a fucking someone at LA Fitness to throw me a perfect post pass. That shit never happens.
Doesn't exist.
Bro, I'll elbow the fuck out of you,
bro. Do you know the frustration of playing at LA Fitness and they're just fucking shooting threes?
See,
you wait an hour to play basketball. It's like we just lost because that bullshit.
But you're at LA Fitness.
But it could be a normal corporate game as well.
No, but I think that's the age. That's the day and time. Because even if you go pick a ball in the park right now.
It's the same thing.
I'll be like this, and I might as well not put my hand
up. Yeah. You might as well not be in the post.
And that's another thing. You mentioned earlier about your game as far as you're a passer.
Right.
Great passing on average doesn't exist either in because everyone opts for the three-point shot.
Right.
You want to look good. You want to look good. And right now looking good means making threes.
But what about
Steph Curry's...
What about Ben Simmons, though? Ben Simmons is kind of bringing back the passing.
No. I'm not saying...
Right, but you also have to be a freak 6'11" point guard, and they'll make the exception for you.
No, but here's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
what's in style Okay? Not that it doesn't exist. What's in style?
Currently. What's the trend?
The trend
is
the three-point game. Right, that's what I mean. Right. It's not Ben Simmons, LeBron, Lonzo, you know. Right. But it's just not the thing. Motherfuckers ain't, yo, pass me to death. You know, it's three-point shots because we see it all.
Right.
I used to teach fifth graders, right? 1 through 5, everybody wanted to be on the three-point line. Yeah. I said, who's the fucking big man?
Right.
Of course, I didn't curse, though.
Well, the funny thing is that I remember going to camps and they would be like, the first thing you do when you get to a court to warm up is you just get to the, like, go around the world, but like bank shots and like get close. And now it's like, that does not happen
out
anymore.
Out the window.
Like, but my coach would yell at me. He's like, when I get there and I start chucking up threes, he's like, you're not going to do that in a game. Stop doing it. It's like, well, that's all that happens now. It's
like, but in fairness to you and as far as big men, Dirk Nowitzki kind of made that also like, he kind of grandfathered us in too. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. It's just if you have all five of you shooting and there's no one inside as a presence, then I think it doesn't work because there's no rebounders. Are you kidding? That's the only aspect that I have a disagreement about. But if you have everybody, it can't be five guys on the perimeter.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. Like, someone, you're the small forward, but you got a big ass. Take your big ass down there and get us a fucking ball.
What the fuck?
Charles Barkley, you know what I mean? Come on, don't get perverted.
Come on, guy.
Charles Barkley had a fucking huge one. All right. You know what I mean?
No. Don't bring him into this.
This is where the Bronx destroys everything. You guys are fucking perverted minded. This is dribbling dimes. We're clean cut.
No, it's not dribbling dimes.
It's dribbling dimes.
And absolutely fucking not.
All right, but you're going to say that. I'm going to say my part. Come on. You want me to rep us both? I don't have enough fucking tongue.
All right, so to Manny's point, though, he brought up corporate as well. What is your thing when it comes to just millennials in general? Like, you're on the train or just like walking around your day-to-day life? Like, how do you think of millennials in your point of view?
So, like I said, I still identify myself as a millennial. So that's a tough question.
So as your counterparts, what do you think about you as well?
So that's okay. So now, and this is not to even just say that about them. Cause again, I think a sense of being in our comfort zones is what I see. And I say that to say in the same degree of basketball, comfort meaning like you don't want the push, you don't want the physicality.
Right.
I think in the same token, we want to be in our comfort zone. And I identify that with myself because
you
mean
24/7. Don't want to be outside of it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And I think that I see that with my counterparts, like you were saying. I see like we're just too safe.
Right.
You know what I mean? I know a lot of people that work in a lot, like, and I've been in education for a long time. And I see a lot of my ex-coworkers and all former colleagues that are friends of mine that are still safe.
Right.
They're like, fuck taking a chance here. Like, fuck believing in better that I can do better. Like, this is it. Like, you got something good, but you aren't thinking about great. That's how I see the norm, the cloud of that millennial thing. I think it's just kind of, I'm looking for the word, suppressed ambition. I think that's the best way I can put it, in my humble opinion.
I like that.
It's kind of like, fuck you, I got it, I'm good. Even if you don't got it, you're like,
right.
Even it's if better you don't than not it. Having nothing.
I have something. Right.
And that's my greatness. That's it. I'll take it.
Right.
Don't talk to me about
it. And the reason why I agree with that a lot, and I mentioned on the podcast as well, is that I feel like we were so coming up, especially in the Bronx, is like, just have something, right? Our parents just wanted us to have a job.
Right.
So it's like, oh, well, I have a job, so I'm fucking...
So you're good.
I'm
made
good.
It.
Why
made
would
it.
I ever try to fucking get something more? I can go back to my story about basketball. Like, well, at least I'm going to college, so my mom can't be mad at me. Like, I didn't get the scholarship to go to college to play ball, but I'm going to college. Like, how is she going to be mad at me? I'm sure that all was part of my mindset.
So you look at it from the perspective of accomplishing what your mom had set out for you versus what you wanted necessarily aspire to do.
Exactly.
See, not me. I flipped that whole shit around. Yeah. I was like, oh, my parents wasn't like pushing anything in particular. It was more like, yo, just don't go to jail.
Right.
Don't do stupid shit.
Don't
outside.
Give me a bunch of kids when you're 13, 14. Right.
Don't be hooked up on no drugs, no bullshit. And then for me, it was just like, how do I stack as much paper as possible so I can get the fuck out of here?
Right.
That's what my mentality
is. Yeah, so different thing for me though, I was here, but I wasn't here.
Right.
So I was a little bit more comfortable financially. So I didn't feel the pressure like, damn, like I'm in a bond. Like that's my thing. And maybe even it comes to like to basketball as well. Maybe if basketball was my only option to get the fuck out,
right.
Maybe I would have had a desire more. But it basketball was just another option for me.
Wilmington would have been more appealing if that was probably the
lane. Right. Yeah. If all the only way I can literally survive and provide for myself was going to Wilmington, I would have gone to Wilmington.
Right.
But it was just, if I had, I also had four different schools saying, yes, come here and come to, you know, study with us. So I was like, all right, well, I have options now. So.
Bitch assness.
Or millennialists.
All right. So as we come to a close, what would you say is the big takeaway you want to leave the listeners with?
About millennials?
In general.
I mean, I think back to the points we've all been making, you know, Pietro and yourself, and just talking about, like, really try to see the big picture at all times. Like, don't get so caught up in your own bubble that all you see the next, like, 2 feet ahead of you is all you know. Mm-hmm. Like, really just take a step back, become vulnerable, right? And just fucking be like, all right, is there a better way of doing things? And if there is, and you can't see that better way, ask for help. Because I feel like so many of us, man, especially millennials, man, we just like, I got this.
Yeah. I feel like since we reconnected, you've reached out to me about certain things that you probably wouldn't have in the past, right?
For sure. Because so I'm trying to see the big picture. I just turned 30. I'm trying to be in a spot 10 years from now that I'm not, like, I currently don't see it, but fuck it. I see other people doing it.
Right.
I fucking look up to you so much, bro. And I'm like, all right, like, I have someone who's doing this. Why wouldn't I fucking reach out for help?
That's right.
And the same thing with basketball. Like, I had other people in nearby schools who I knew that were doing it back then, but I was like, nah, fuck them. They're doing their own thing. I'll figure it out on my own. So I think as I get older, I'm trying to just be more aware of, hey, it's not asking for handouts, it's asking for advice. And then,
I think that's one of our problems, because, you know, you got, in my mind, you got two types of people. You got the opportunists who all they care about is taking.
Right.
Right. And then you got those that also want to take and learn, but also would be willing to give when the opportunity presented itself.
100%.
Right? And so it's hard sometimes for, you know, people that might be in certain privileged positions that people might want to go be attracted to decipher who's who. So a lot of people have this inclination to shut everybody down.
Right.
Right. And so when people like yourself are hesitant to ask, it probably comes from your fear of them declining you to help.
Right.
And also maybe some cockiness on your part. It's like, yo, I could do this shit. I don't need nobody to
help. It's probably 75% that.
Right. So, like, I mean, you have an open line to me. So if,
appreciate that.
I ain't nobody special, but if I can help you, I'm happy to.
You are special. We are important.
No, yeah, I appreciate
Little school bus special.
No, but let me just say, I just want to wrap up with this in closing. We talked about this. Again, I identify myself as a millennial, and I think part of the reason why I wrote my spoken word poetry book is because I wanted to break out of my comfort zone.
Right.
But I also wanted to expose what those comfort zone, what those parameters were. You know, like, what was holding me back. And pride, I associate what you just talked about pride. Pride plays a huge role. You don't ask him for help because of pride. I got this shit.
Right.
You know, it's like, there's no other reason. There's no reason, because he didn't close a door you haven't even knocked on. You know, you just didn't knock on the door. So you didn't know it was open to you and a world of possibility. So I think that I share that sentiment. I was like, no, I got this shit. I don't got shit. But I got this shit. I got this shit. I got this shit. And it's a work in progress. You don't got shit. You know what I mean? You're standing on nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's also, I think, it's ingrained in the culture, in our culture. Also, as men, we're supposed to just have it all figured the fuck out.
Right.
We're providers. And it's, so I think it's not just us. But
there's a bigger scope. I mean, at the end of the day, like, I don't think any of these fucking millennials, Gen X, that shit matters. But
No.
It's just ingrained in us that we don't need certain things.
Yeah. It's relevant. Not to dispose of the millennial. No, it's relevant. I'm saying, just with this respect to pride.
Right.
It's deeper than just millennial. But I see the similarities. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I wrote my book to step out of my comfort zone. Say, fuck it. Here I am. You know, I'm pretty good. I don't know this shit, but if I can help you with this shit, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, just be human about the fucking thing. You know what I mean? And live, basically. You know, we're all trying to get better.
Right.
Or at least some of us, you know. So if you want greatness, you'll be around greatness. Therefore, you ascend. Right. If not, then you have these motherfuckers will be there, and then that's it.
Right, I agree with that. It's who you surround yourself with. I know, like, we'll wrap this up in a second, but I always remember, like, the last couple of years, like even, like, Sammy, when he came to visit, I kept telling by some of my friends, and he's like, bro, like, you surround yourself with some fucking really great people.
Yeah.
And because, like, yo, if you want to be great, you got to fucking start saying, all right, this is what, and you want to be trash, then
you surround yourself with trash.
Exactly. So it works both ways.
Yeah, man. Yo, I think that's a kick-ass way to wrap up, you know what I'm saying? Because, first of all, I just want to say thank you all of you guys for
thank you,
this,
man,
for making this happen. I think it's a super dope idea to like fuse both of our podcasts together on this night. I mean, this day.
Just need the merchandise.
Yeah, we got merch on the way.
Merch on the way. $50. $50 t-shirts.
No, no, not $50. $59.95. Y'all too young to know about that shit. Y'all gonna have to go back in the day. That was when videos was out. They used to always say $59.95 for everything back in
the day. I don't even know. Yeah. I'm the young one he's talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. Damn, 6 years is a big ass difference. Anyway, yeah, that's what's up.
All right, so I'm Manny Digital.
I'm Emilio the Poet.
Day Bar is open from Absolutely Fucking Not Podcast.
All right, and we're from Dribbling Dimes. Catch us on your favorite podcast platforms. We out.
Yep.
And yeah, you can get my book, I'm a Poet and You Know It, Volume 1, on Amazon.com. Or you can get it on Instagram. Hold on, man. We're going to plug our shit in. You know we're going to plug it. We came to be great in this motherfucker.
All right.
Hey, look here. On Instagram, at Emilio _the Poet. And you know it. Peace, y'all.